Today's Friday, September 28th, 2018. It's security and nonsense today. Lots of nonsense. Lots of technology nonsense. These companies are up to no good, and they stole our data.
Now, you might listen to a lot of security stories and be like, man, I'm glad that doesn't affect me. But I think this one is going to affect a ton of our viewers.
Yes.
Probably maybe more than any that we've talked about, except for like Cambridge Analytica, which was everybody. But it's Newegg, not Newegg.
Hackers have stolen credit cards in the Newegg data breach. The mechanism for stealing this was just a sniffer on the page that listens via JavaScript.
Yeah, and I believe we've talked about in the past that Newegg runs ads on their payment page.
Oops.
Or at least it did in the past, and that is a bad idea.
It's asking for trouble. Oh, but we need that ad analytics. We need it. Well, we must have the Google container on the checkout page in order for us to monitor user behavior and build up personas.
This ran for about a month, and for sure, if you did business during that month, was it all of September? Or was it?
It was August and September.
They got it. No question about it, because they're getting the raw form data. They got everything. So,
oops.
Time for a new credit card. Deal with that quickly. Now, Facebook. Facebook obviously wants all of your data. They have been in talks with banks. And they're like, hey, why don't you just show us their banking data? And the banks were like, why would we ever do that? And so maybe they're looking for some more nefarious means of getting that data.
Facebook wanted banks to fork over customer data passing through its messenger service. So, yeah, Facebook really wanted this, I would assume, for their advertising profile, because this is hugely valuable to advertisers. How wealthy you are is sort of like one of the main variables for this new level of advertising.
Well, not only that, but what transactions you've been making. So every transaction they can track goes onto your advertising profile. That's like, oh, bought some golf balls, did you? Now we know something about you.
One of the most successful ad campaigns that I ever worked on was a thing where when you bought the item, it was like, share that you bought this on Facebook. And people were just all about that. It was like, check out, I bought my new golf bag on Facebook. Woo! And because then people would, you know, post and be like, oh my God, that's an amazing golf bag.
It cracks me up when I order a pizza online and they give me that option. I'm like, what? If someone was polluting your feed with, hey, look, I bought a pizza, how quickly would you get rid of those books?
See, I'll tell you exactly what. So it's like I've been that guy. It's like I'm sitting there. I've got my social media logged in. I'm sitting at home alone. I'm just cripplingly lonely. And I order that large pizza, and then I post it. And it's like, hey man, you got that large pizza? That's an awful lot to eat. You want some company? I can come over. We can hang out.
You're hoping to bring people in. It's like, oops, ordered five pizzas when I only needed one.
You're laughing, but we just got five upvotes.
Butterfingers.
Because those people do the same
thing. That didn't occur to me. But then what if, you know, it's like you really want to not alone. You just get one pizza and they still show up.
You don't post on social in that case.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a bizarre world that we live in, isn't it?
The bizarre world of the cripplingly lonely.
Well, the good news is, you might not think that anybody's paying attention to you, but they sure as hell are.
This is a different security vulnerability than the one that we reported on in Business News, which is an international incident. These hackers have hijacked surveillance camera footage with the peekaboo zero-day vulnerability. Now, these cameras are not running Windows. These are actually a little bit more secure, but it's still really terrible because nobody knows how to do this.
They're definitely not. So this is a simple buffer overflow that will get you into the video management portion of the software. So this is not you hacking the individual camera. This is the camera control center that malls and banks and government buildings might be using. And you just need to overflow the buffer and then you're in and you can do whatever you want.
We're running the camera system or mining cryptocurrency. You can't tell nowadays. You can't tell.
They mentioned that this is the kind of thing where you could get in and replace actual footage with just a loop of nothing happening.
You mean what I saw on Mission Impossible can actually happen?
Every kind of movie that's ever done that. This, you could totally do that with this hack.
Neat.
They have not patched it because this isn't just one company. This is a software that tons of different surveillance companies use. And they all sort of brand it and twist it their own way a little bit. So they don't have a universal patch, but there is a tool that you can get that tells you whether or not you're at risk. So I don't know if that...
If you have a surveillance system, you should go read that article and download it and figure it out.
And if you have a tablet or laptop that has, you know, cursive to text technology, you should worry about this one.
This Windows file may be secretly hoarding your passwords and emails. So any kind of touch input or like pen input on Windows, it will capture the stuff that you type because it assumes that the stuff that you type is going to be similar to what you write.
Yeah, and it stores all of that form data, including type stuff, which is weird, into a single file, which then it uses to compare and try to learn your handwriting, to try to get better at all that. But it's not encrypted, and it's all in one file.
It also doesn't pay attention if you're typing in a password box and think maybe I shouldn't record that.
So literally everything that goes into this file that's learning your writing is unencrypted and able to be grabbed by any sort of malware or anything like that.
Twitter.
It's a bad time to have one of those things. You do have to, if you disable the text to, what is that called? Like, it's not, is it character recognition? I don't know if they call it that, but turn that off and this file will go away. But yeah, Twitter. Twitter API has had a very interesting bug this week.
It turns out that it accidentally shared DMs with the wrong developers. So like if you have an extension on Twitter that will do stuff, that the extension was able to read from random users, apparently, through the API. So your tweets or protected tweets or even private messages could be read. So you should get a notice from Twitter if you were affected.
That doesn't seem like a big deal, but if you think about in the terms of like the Facebook thing, if you're tweeting with an automated bot from your bank, for example, and it sends you, or two-factor, you can two-factor through DM, stuff like that.
I could read your two-factors.
Bad news. Good. Well, the Zaif, you think that's Zaif is how you pronounce that?
The Zaif cryptocurrency exchange is the latest that has lost $60 million. So it's in Osaka. So, yeah.
This was Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and one other. I don't remember what the other one was, but yeah, a total of $60 million. And so they have hot wallets and cold wallets. A hot wallet is funds that are waiting to be moved in a couple of seconds. Like sort of like a slush that you're constantly moving things in and out of. And somebody got into the hot wallet. And there's not any two-factor anything on that because it's constantly in flux. And I got $60 million.
That seems bad.
Yeah. They are going to borrow the money to pay it back, but bad news for them in the long run, I would think.
It's good architecturally if they're able to survive that in terms of like, oh, yeah, our insurance covered this. Technologically, they weren't able to steal. You know, it's like we got $1 billion in cryptocurrency and they only managed to steal $60 million. I would consider that a win.
I guess. But is that, you know, does it just start a countdown of them becoming insolvent? Is now the time to get out of Zaif?
It depends on a lot of factors. Don't know.
You got to think they already lost quite a bit just holding all that cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Well, Internet of Things. So, you know, holiday season's coming up. It's never too early to start preparing for that, right? Cracker Barrel has 3 Christmas trees already. What are you going to get your loved ones? Are you going to get them some Internet of Things gadgets, right? What if they're older or they're a bit of a Luddite and it's hard for them to connect their Internet of Things gadgets and understand it? Amazon has the answer.
They're going to make it easier to set up new Internet of Things gadgets. This stock photo is using a microwave, and it's really freaking me out because I think that's actually the next story.
You know what? I cut that because this story talks about it. So let's talk about the story. So what they're doing is they're creating a system where your Alexa-enabled home is going to have basically a one-click Internet of Things onboarding.
It's literally like the picture is like, hey, Alexa, I've got a new friend. This is Terminator Skull with teabag eyes. It's like, say hello. And then Alexa and the thing exchange something called like the Wi-Fi locker, like the Wi-Fi credentials locker or something. And then Terminator Skull is enrolled and trusted on my network. And so it's like, oh, the Terminator Skull can now participate in my network. It sounds exciting for old people. It sounds super terrifying if you're into information security.
Yeah. Well, way more terrifying than and there is, you don't have to know that password. So like old people that just don't know their password, don't worry. Amazon knows your password.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it.
Well, how long before law enforcement comes to your house and it's like, hey, Alexa, enroll law enforcement device 713-428 bleep, you know, and then it's like, oh, now they can just download everything in the cloud.
Including, and this is true, they are talking about an Internet of Things microwave.
So the Internet of Things microwave, I built this like in college, and it was not the Internet of Things microwave. My microwave was it was an IBM PS2E, which is like a little tiny pizza box 486 running Linux with a barcode scanner connected to the serial port. And so in college, I would open the microwave, and the reason for this was because the microwave was if you follow the instructions on the box for the microwavable meal, it would come out wrong. And so I had my own set of instructions and I didn't want to keep up with it. So I would scan the frozen meal's barcode and put it in the microwave. And the microwave, as soon as the door closed, would come on and do whatever was necessary to deal with that piece of food. And I really liked that. That microwave died.
That is not at all what this is going to be. This is going to give you, basically, you know, you can control the microwave with your apps. But it's, there's never a time to remotely start and stop a microwave because you're immediately loading it or unloading it.
Yeah.
And even if you wanted to stop it, like it'll stop on its own and you can just let the food cool down if that's what you're after.
Unlike a coffee pot where say you can put the coffee grounds in the night before and then the coffee pot will come on and wake you up in the morning. You can't do that with a frozen meal. It doesn't come out well.
Yeah.
And any attempts to modify the microwave to integrate it into a refrigerator will ultimately result in that microwave no longer being an interesting project and you throwing it away.
But there just is never a time. I cannot think of any reason you would need to remotely connect your microwave.
It's part of a larger strategy from Amazon. They want to integrate the smart speaker into literally all home appliances.
Yeah.
Because think of the data collection possibilities.
That is literally the only thing that this is going to be good for is telling Amazon how often you use your microwave.
And what kind of, probably they'll put a camera in it so they can see what kind of food you have. Because who now, would possibly have a privacy concern about the inside of the microwave?
Maybe if they could do like a thermal camera inside the microwave.
There are some nice microwaves that have that.
That could be Internet of Things. I don't think this microwave does that.
I want to experiment with one of the microwaves that does microwave and convection and traditional heating. And it's all, like, I've been led to believe that there's like some kind of fancy microwave that will do all that, but I've never experienced it truly in person.
I've seen that in some new homes I've looked at.
Somebody was showing me this air fryer that they have, and it was super, super impressive what it did.
That's a convection oven.
Okay. Well, convection oven. They were showing me the convection oven. Like, you just, you hit a thing, and it's like, cook until it's done, and it just does it.
Air frying is literally a meme. There is no such thing as air frying.
Well, the last time I tried to use a convection oven, I almost burned my house down. So this thing was much more sophisticated than that.
Well, you know what? What if you would have gotten a text message right before combustion and was like, hey, I'm shutting down because you're an idiot.
Will you remember the microwave that I vaporized the potato in?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if Internet of Things can protect you from that type of thing.
For the people in the home audience, it is possible to microwave a potato so long the only thing left is the skin.
Not recommended.
Strongly not recommended.
Well, if you're security-minded and you want, of course, Google, we talked about there, what was it, like the Titan or something, I think they called it. But if you're more open source oriented and you want everything to be free for you to look at and pilfer through, maybe the Librem key is for you.
It's from Purism. So this looks exciting. So you can use this and it's like a security token, but it's from the people that have that philosophical alignment, I would say.
Yeah. Well, everything about it is open. You can look at all the source code and you don't have to trust. Of course, if you trust Google, you're already behind the curve. But that's out there. You can buy it. And you probably should if you've got some really sensitive things on your PC.
Or if you just have Acrobat Reader installed.
Yeah, you should update that.
There's like 7 or 8 flaws in Acrobat. It's really bad. It's like it's a 0 day, but it's one of the 0 days that's going to lead to a botnet probably. So, yeah. Of course, this is Friday, so this is probably not timely now.
Maybe we should put security earlier in the week. On hindsight, it's not as exciting as the other ones, though.
So, yeah. Another day, another terrible Adobe exploit.
But you can live without Adobe Reader these days. I think there's enough replacements that you should probably just never even install that. And poor Alex Jones, man, I tell you, every week.
Well, there goes our monetization.
Here's the good news for Alex Jones. Every week he's in the news.
Yes.
I mean, he's getting his name out there constantly. The bad news this week is you're going to have a harder time buying those water filters.
PayPal has banned Alex Jones and InfoWars from processing payments. So, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, a lot of Alex Jones' money comes from not only advertising, but he also sells a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
He's got the nutrition products and the water filters and a whole, and of course, all the t-shirts and branded stuff.
You know, for all of his tinfoil insanity, there's a certain amount of irony in him being right, because in just the span of a few days, he's completely lost everything.
And that was his prediction.
Yes.
That they would
Well, I think, I wouldn't even say it was a prediction. I would say that he was literally saying that all of this stuff is controlled by a cabal of just a few people that make decisions and then everybody follows suit. And it looks like that's exactly what happened. It
certainly does. And the other thing about it is we've talked a lot about the war on cash. And this points out that we're coming very close to a world where if people don't like you, even for ideological reasons, they can just turn off your ability to live, basically. Because if he loses PayPal and then he loses all the big payment processors, what choice does he have?
So are you saying that beyond fraud and criminal activity, PayPal shouldn't be concerned about why person A is sending person B money?
Well, they shouldn't. Now, I will fall back on my opinion that PayPal's a business. And they can do what they want. But that's the danger of letting private businesses control all of commerce.
Ah, yes. So it's not feasible or practical for someone to exchange currency with Alex Jones in a secure way that does not involve a business.
Exactly, right. And so
that seems logical. You'd have to use a bank or a money order, which is the post office, which is technically a private entity.
Well, but see, PayPal, money order, I wouldn't count money order because
it's not convenient.
A lot of those sales, if you have to go to the post office and you got a couple of days to think about it, are you going to buy like the water filter?
Is
that an impulse?
Is the imperative then to create a postal service debit card and payment processor? That could be a thing.
That could be interesting. But then we have the government involved, and are they any better? I mean, do they not also make arbitrary decisions about who to turn on and off?
I'm happy with how the post office turned out.
Yeah, but they're so at risk.
They are at risk.
Oh, you know what else is at risk? Marriages. And it might surprise you why.
Fortnite is being cited in divorce papers. Somebody, I guess, did some research on this. And so Fortnite addiction, apparently, a lot of people spend a lot of time playing Fortnite. And it's being cited as the source of divorce for a lot of people.
That's hilarious.
The artwork for that's even good.
Yeah, they do have a nice little... I don't know enough about Fortnite to understand. I guess these are just outfits you can get in Fortnite.
I think the first two are. I don't know what the third one is.
Well, that's... Cupid, I don't know. The furry, I bet the furry one's super popular. what a world we live in. But yeah, people are getting divorced because they'd rather spend time on Fortnite than with their spouse. Unfortunate. Maybe couldn't you game together?
Yeah.
I mean, you could play duos on Fortnite, right?
Well, maybe that's also a source of, because it's like you're, you know.
You're not
improving.
You're dragging down you're the nubbin of the team.
Well, you know, you got to figure every household is like, the controller 2 household. And so it's like maybe the wife is really upset that she's got the inferior graphics card.
That's true. And it's time. He's like, you know what I've been thinking about? I think it's time to go RTX on. And she's like, I've got a 7 series. What are you talking, you selfish asshole? It's over between us.
Well, we can't afford 2. I mean, our household income, we can't buy 2 20 series graphics cards. That's lunacy. I mean, we couldn't even get 2 2070s.
It's real. The struggle is real. It
apparently is real.
I think that should be our public service announcement, is if you're going to habitually play Fortnite, you have to have an equal opportunity gaming. You know, some nights you just got to let the wife or the husband, whoever it is.
Or you can trade machines.
Yeah, right. You hot seat the good and the bad machine, I think, is the way to keep that real.
We had a Washington Post story, but it was eaten by gremlins.
But the title is still there, so we can tell you what it was about. This is the old Sun Observatory story. And we wondered last week.
It's a follow-up.
What will we ever find out what happened? Well, we did, but...
Well, we got to set it up for you in case you missed it.
So suspicious.
There's an observatory of the sun in New Mexico. And like Black Hawk helicopters came and they shut it down. They wouldn't tell the sheriff. They wouldn't tell any of the local people what was going on. All the staff had to leave. The whole place was evacuated. It was like...
And for a week.
It was like a 4-alarm fire.
It was down for a week.
Nobody had any idea what was going on. There was a conspiracy theorist that came out. There was a picture of the sun with like alien spaceships in front of it. And I was like, oh, they could observe this from there. I don't know. Nope. The explanation is far more mundane.
And as is so sadly often... the end result of many of these news stories, it was child pornography.
So they sent a Black Hawk and a whole bunch of other stuff for not that reason. The guy, so it was the janitor, they think.
Yeah.
And they think the janitor had a laptop that he was doing all this stuff from. And because the manager of the facility would just randomly find this laptop in, all around, like just in different offices that weren't necessarily used depending on what the season was. And, They looked at it and they were like, I better call law enforcement.
Well, they had timestamps too, and it always happened in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So this guy was there by himself all night long cleaning the place. You can imagine they had some pretty good bandwidth at the Sun Observatory. So he was just bringing in his laptop and plugging it in and supposedly going wild with the child pornography.
So when the laptop disappeared, he said that there was a serial killer on the loose.
Yeah.
And that's what triggered the...
So supposedly him saying... Him getting weird about the laptop being missing and saying there was a serial killer on the loose is why they brought in the helicopters. But that just, it's a little hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean,
that is a despicable crime, but it's not a violent crime.
Black Hawk helicopters?
I don't know. It seems very suspicious. And
so definitely check out that one tab link to the Washington Post on this story.
Unfortunately, it'll rewrite the URL to just WashingtonPost.com. Damn their anti-consumerist tactics. But it's very weird. And you would assume that they arrested him immediately, right? So then why didn't they open it back up immediately?
Maybe there was a serial killer on the loose.
That's a bizarre thing.
That is a bizarre thing.
Yeah. And if you're a serial killer, is the remote Sun Observatory really the best hunting ground?
People are going to notice people are missing.
It's going to be immediate. And they have good communication with the outside world. Oh, wow. So let's talk about a couple of science stories. And this one is, it's very interesting because I can't tell you how many times I've been, you know, awake at night, I can't sleep, and I just keep asking myself over and over, what would octopi do when on ecstasy?
Science finally answers that question. So the description here of the experiment that they did is not the clearest, but it sounds like normally when you introduce an octopus to a foreign environment, it's pretty conservative. And so they had a toy Chewbacca, and they also had a caged male octopus. And so it was...
Well, caged... They put a laundry basket on top of him.
Oh, okay.
This is really high dollar operation.
And so a lot of the time the octopi would be sort of conservative interacting with the new male octopus in the laundry basket. And they would sometimes want to play with the Chewbacca toy. But on ecstasy, they would hang out together. And it was
they would put their tentacles inside the laundry basket and stroke the other octopus. So just like kids at a rave, when you gave the octopus ecstasy, it got real touchy. That's what they came up with.
Well, they did say that they accidentally used too much the first few times.
It just
they were just freaking out.
It began to change colors erratically.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Like, you're an octopus. And apparently, octopus have a very high... brain function. And I've seen a lot of videos where they like unscrew the lids on things and they'll squeeze through little tiny holes. And it's just like, wow, that's an amazing animal. But can you imagine being that creature? It's like, these things are handling me and this is not what I'm trained for. My instincts don't prepare me for this at all. And then they dunk you down that ecstasy and your whole world just changes. Well, if you've watched all of the Level 1 news this week, particularly the code of conduct episode, and you're just sitting there thinking, you know what? It's time. It's time to be done with all of this. Then this might be a story that you're interested in.
Good news, everyone. Yellowstone has heard your request. This long dormant Yellowstone hot spring erupts. So I think you're saying that the super caldera under Yellowstone is going to kill us all.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of hot spring activity in Yellowstone, many of them that haven't been dormant for, decades. And it might be related to this giant pool of magma that seems to be bubbling under Yellowstone, the caldera. And this is they're not saying it's going to erupt, but if it did erupt, this would be kind of a Pompeii times 10 sort of, this destroys all life probably.
So what you're saying is I should start looking for property up in Maine.
Oh, definitely off the continent. You're going to get as far geographically away from Yellowstone as you possibly can. But even then, the nuclear winter. Oh, you want to die quick or you want to die slow? That's the question.
Maybe it'll turn the Sahara subtropical again.
It might. Or it might just kill everybody, as is predicted. Well, let's say...
Our next story comes to us from the Moscow Times.
Yeah, this is good old Russian. And let's say that you're a young Russian girl, and you're pretty, but you're not gorgeous, You can't win the traditional beauty contests, but you might have a chance at this one.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so this pageant, this was pulled from social media after some complaints. I can't imagine why. this is from the Moscow Times.
It was almost over too.
Yeah,
only a week to go for this.
Yeah, so this went on for a while.
Yeah, so it was
someone in Russia doing this facetiously or was it serious?
No. This is a Hitler fan club.
Wow,
Facebook group. So you post a beautiful picture of yourself while you're doing the Heil Hitler salute, and you're judged on your beauty.
Meanwhile, his name was Count Dankula. He's still fighting
The one with his dog.
Yeah.
Okay in Moscow. No, he lost. He had to, I think he's done his community service or whatever at this point. He might have to do some jail time.
Wow.
But yeah.
So he should have been in Moscow.
Or his dog could have entered this contest, is what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, there's some attractive women here. I don't think the dog would have much of a chance. But, considering
it's just so cute.
Considering their politics,
yeah,
may be a turnoff for some people. I mean, I'm not going to judge. And finally, whenever there's a story about there's one character, and I don't care, every time he's in the news, we will cover it here on Level One. That is a pledge to you. And that is Pepe the Frog.
Creator of Pepe the Frog has gotten a trial date in his case against Alex Jones because Alex Jones was selling a shirt.
A poster. A poster for, get this, $29.99.
Wow.
$30 for a poster?
We're doing it wrong. We gotta get some of those in the Level One store.
That's madness. Oh, man. PayPal, think about all the profits PayPal's throwing away by divorcing him.
I thought our $25 mouse pads were kind of high, but they're really nice, and they actually cost a lot to make. So.
And this is just a piece of paper. So Alex Jones had a poster, and it was about the election. So he had the faces of, the big players in the right-wing people from the election, and Pepe was one of them because, Pepe was in the news. But Pepe's a copyright. You can't just use him. This guy owns him, and so he is going to sue, not Alex Jones directly, but InfoWars, because that's the corporation.
How long do you think it'll be before Alex Jones files for bankruptcy? Like January, February? Oh,
I think Alex Jones is making so much money.
You think he'll be okay without all this stuff?
Yeah.
I don't think it
galvanizes. Mm. So the more he is oppressed, the more hardcore. I mean, think about our audience. We make a non-trivial amount of money every month from our audience.
Thank you, by the way.
And
it lets us do stuff.
And our audience is nowhere near as big or as dedicated as his.
Mm. So what you're saying is if we had more convictions, even if they were insane, the crazies would come out of the woodwork and give us more money?
Oh, yeah. Well, you always, in entertainment, you always want to take a stand and, pick a side. And here's the thing about it. We often get... people will post in the comments and they'll be like, you are expressing political ideology X. And it's as often left as it is right. And because of that, I'm unsubscribing and I'm leaving the Patreon and I hate you.
Stop being relentlessly reasonable. I hate it.
But the Patreon doesn't go down. It goes up every month. And the subscription numbers don't seem to have been affected either. And this is, it's like the old Howard Stern thing. You ever see Howard Stern's movie?
Yeah.
It's like the average person who loves Howard Stern listens for an hour a day. The average person who hates Howard Stern listens for 3 hours a day. They're not leaving. They're posting their mean comments, but they're not leaving. They're watching.
Well, we're trying to make everything better in spite of the mean comments.
And I guarantee you the blue hairs are watching Alex Jones.
Like the old ladies?
No, the social justice.
Oh, the social justice.
Because they love to get, you know, it's like that it's like hate porn. They're like, oh, I'm going to destroy you, but I need to know why.
My life's too short for that.
He's entertaining, you know. I mean, you shouldn't take him seriously, but he does get worked up over some of these topics. But all that aside, he did not have the right to use Pepe. He deserves this lawsuit.
Maybe now, if he does, if things actually do slow down a little bit for him, maybe he'll have time to go back to his open source contributions.
He is going to have to really protect his identity, though, because it's more dangerous than ever if he gets uncovered.
We'll see you next week.